Open up our Bibles this evening to Revelations chapter 21. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we do thank you for another day that you've given to us, dear Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful that you lifted our bodies up out of a miry pit, dear Heavenly Father. Dear Lord, you set our feet on a rock, dear Heavenly Father. And Lord, as Sister Ann mentioned, you established our ways. Dear Lord, we're so thankful for your goodness to us, dear Lord. We're so thankful for your love and your patience, your kindness, dear Heavenly Father. And Lord, we're thankful for the hope that we have within our soul, dear Lord. A hope of heaven one day, a hope of for all eternity, dear Lord, of complete bliss and joy, dear Heavenly Father. And dear Lord, we're thankful that we see that through the eye of faith, dear Heavenly Father. And Lord, one day we want to hear, well done, and we want to hear you say, enter into the kingdom of God prepared for us before the foundations of the world, we're informed, dear Lord. So, Heavenly Father, we're thankful for some of these things that we can read and we can see through the eye of faith, Heavenly Father. It's a blessing to a soul, an encouragement to our soul, Heavenly Father. And Lord, we just ask you to be with each and every one of us, dear Lord. We know that life is short, Heavenly Father, and many of us here have put many years behind us, Heavenly Father. And Lord, we want to finish our course with faith. We want to finish our course pleasing to you, Heavenly Father. So, Lord, we ask you to be with us, dear Lord, as we look into the Word of God this evening. Dear Lord, that we'll receive, again, something that will be an encouragement to us, dear Lord. We believe that as you present the Word, you allow us to present the Word. You said your Word will not return unto you void. So, Lord, help us to apply it and allow it to be fertilizer to our spiritual soul, dear Heavenly Father, and we'll thank you for that, dear Lord. Go with us throughout the service, dear Lord. Anoint me. Anoint the Word. Help me to bring it just as you would have us to. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. Revelation chapter 21, and I want to read verse 6 and 7 here. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountains of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Verse 6, we're going to look at both of these verses a little bit, but verse 6, he says in here, I will give unto him that is athirst. You ever get thirsty? I don't know. I know sometimes it's odd. Some people say they can't drink this. You know, they drink a little bit, but yeah, you have a kidney stone or something. I've had several kidney stones, I mentioned this morning, and they tell me this is what you need to start drinking. And so I started drinking, and I enjoy water. I drink a lot of water. And, you know, and the thing is with water, you can drink some water, and it'll quench your thirst a little bit, but after a while, you'll get thirsty again. But, you know, the mankind, our souls are thirsty for something of the world. They're thirsty for, as Brother David mentioned, when he came here, he looked for this part, and he went after that, and he went after these things. And many of us have done the same thing as a younger person, may have sought this way to be happiness and that way to be happiness. But he says here in verse 6, he said, latter part, and I give unto him that is thirsty. I thank God I had a thirst for the soul, for my soul, for the things of God. I thank God that he entertained my thought process to have a desire for the things of God. As I preached some this morning, would bring some thoughts about this morning again. As I mentioned this morning sometime, I said, Lord, help us. We need to have a desire for the things of God, a thirsty for the things of God. People in the world have no desire, it seems like, almost zero desire for anything of God, zero desire for church. Our friends, our family, our neighbors, they know you're going to church. I was my neighbor, they had gone away for the weekend, a little bit camping. They bought a camper, and they just first time they went camping. And I walked over and talked to them, and it was somewhere, I don't know, around 3:30 or so, I guess, around that time. He goes, don't you go to church tonight? I don't know why he said that, thinking, I don't know, I guess he thought it was later than what it was. People know. People know what we do in the Sundays and things, but they have no desire for themselves. God says, I will give unto him that is thirst. And I thank God if you're saved this morning, you got thirsty, or this evening, you got thirsty for the things of God one day. And that's not just something that comes by everybody. I know God deals with a soul, God talks with a soul, and God gives them a little thirsting for the things of God to get them looking at it, but most people turn it away, just like this water. Sometimes, and there's nothing wrong with it if you don't like water. Some people say, I got to have something. I got to put some flavor in it, some sugar in it, some lemon in it, something. I got to put something in it for me to have an attraction. You know what? The world says the same thing. I want it, but I want something that's entertaining to me. Well, thank God we don't have to have things that are entertaining. Jesus says, I'll give you a thirst. And as I said, as we're saved, we got thirsty for the things of God today, one day. And I thank God he gave us this thirst. He gave us this water. I think of the story with the woman at the well when Jesus came by and talked to her one time. And he told the woman at the well, he goes, the water that you drink, this water that you drink, you're going to be thirsty again. I can drink a whole bottle of water and it can quench my thirst a little bit. And you know, oddly, water is about the only thing that really kind of does quench your thirst. I mean, when you're really thirsty, when you want something to drink, you drink some water, it can quench your thirst. But in just a little bit of period of time, depending on the weather outside, it could be hot, it will be a short period of time, you're going to be thirsty again. He told the woman at the well one day, he says, this water that you drink here, you're going to thirst again for it. But the water that I have to give unto you, you will never thirst again. I trust we found that water. I trust God has helped us to see that water. And he said that he told the woman there, and he mentioned in this next verse here, he says, it is a fountain. A fountain. A fountain is where the source of water comes from. A spring. Remember as a kid, you ever do it as a kid? Ever take a garden hose and it's got a pretty good pressure? How many of us tried to stop that garden hose with our finger? Try to stick it in there and it squirts out. You might get a little bit, it doesn't work. That's where the source of the water is coming from. You know, sometimes in streams and rivers and things, you can a little beaver can dam up a river, can redirect a river to flow of it. But thank God the fountain, a spring, is where the source starts from. And it continues to flow outward by the grace of God. He says here in these verses, verse 6, he says, I am the beginning and I am the end. God is where the source of the spring comes from. I am the water of life freely. Verse 7 is where I want to look at my thought for this evening. He says, and he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. If you want this fountain to flow in your life, you're going to have to overcome. We're going to have to overcome some things. We're going to have to be victorious over some things. He says, he that overcometh. I thank God that the Spirit of God and Jesus can help us to overcome. And he's the only one that can help us overcome. But there are some things that we have to do to overcome. You know, I always say this a lot of times, and I my personal feeling, I believe this to be true. I believe that the enemy works in society to affect society as a somewhat of a whole that can affect people from getting saved. I believe God, or the enemy, works on people to be lazy. And it's a lazy tree. We have a society today of and it's all over the place. Anybody you talk to, they don't want to work. They want things given to them. I want you to give me things. I want things to be free to me. They don't want to go out and work for it or plan or save up or take care of it. They don't want that. They want all these things free. And I believe sometimes the enemy of the soul works on society to do that because it comes into an effect for people to get saved. It's hard to get someone saved that they're lazy. I really believe it. If you're lazy, I don't want to do nothing. Well, let me tell you what. You're not going to be a lazy individual and be a child of God, because God tells us we need to provide for ourselves. We need to work for ourselves and take care of ourselves, take care of things. Provide for the services of the church. But if a fountain to overcome, how are we overcoming? He says in verse 7, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. There's a part we have to play to overcome. We have to overcome disappointment. Anybody been disappointed? Ever been disappointed? You know, as we went to an altar call this morning and the message that went forth this morning, and I prayed, I said, Lord, help that message to stay in the minds of some people. Sometimes you preach a message like that this morning and you think, has it just fallen on the wayside? Where has it affected? Where has it dealt with souls? Where has it started to work with souls? To where in different countries or maybe in the earlier years you preach a message like that and the altar would be filled. People would come desiring to get saved, but it almost seems like things people don't want to move. So in a sense, we have to overcome some things. We have to overcome disappointment. We have to overcome battles that we go through. We have to overcome our family. We have to overcome friends. We have to overcome self. To want to do things ourselves. We have to overcome sickness. We have to overcome many things in the natural form, but we have to overcome a spiritual enemy of a soul also and overcome the wickedness of the world. There's some things he says here, he that overcometh. Sometimes we need to spend some extra time in prayer. Lord, I need to overcome. I need to be victorious on certain things. You know, there I've said it sometimes, there are some things in my life that the enemy never, ever tempts me with. He may tempt you, but vice versa, there may be some things that he tempts me with you may never tempt. I may never be, as I've mentioned this morning, some of the saints here have been delivered from certain habits of alcohol, of smoking, of maybe language and things like that. There were three things in my life as a young person I never had to overcome, or I never had to battle those things. I was telling somebody just the other day, or maybe last night or something, I said, I was at work the other day, we were talking about it. Somehow we got to talking about smoking. I forget how we got to talking about it, but I mentioned to him, about smoking. I said, I hated it so bad. I said, I used to get car sick very easily in the car. And then mom and dad would smoke in the cars, and that would just enhance it. And I would just get almost deathly sick. I hated it. I detested it so bad. I said, there was never a time in my life that I ever even considered smoking. I hated it that bad. I thank God for that. Same way with alcohol. I never did drink alcohol as far as I tried it when I was young, took a drink here or there, that was about it. But I never did involve myself in it. I didn't have to overcome them things. I never handled bad language. But there are some other things in my life that I've had to have help from the Lord. I have to overcome. And if I want this fountain that he talks about in verse 6 there, to have this fountain the latter part, I will give unto him that is his thirst, a fountain of water of life freely. He that overcomes. See, a lot of people, they want that fountain free. They want things free. They want things to enjoy. They want the things of God to be enjoyed freely. But they have to overcome some things. The song that we have in our songbook, I enjoy it a lot of times. And it says, be an overcomer. And verse 2 says, be an overcomer. He who stands with you is mighty, is the mighty one who is always true. In the sorest conflict, you shall win that day. Face the legions dark till they flee away. Verse 4, be an overcomer. Forward boldly, go. We have to overcome to be bold sometimes. You know, that's usually not the character of a Christian and thing, but we have to be bold. We have to be bold against the enemy. We have to just stay faithful. We have to stay true. We have to believe that God can take care of things when it doesn't, with the eyes, the physical eyes, doesn't seem to be possible. There was a message that I won't bring that out. It might come out later. But verse 4, being overcome, forward boldly go, you are strong enough to count it so. Those are words that they just do not go with most of us. They're not our character, a lot of us. We're not usually, I'm talking about as Christians now, as being Christian, we're not usually a forward, boldly individual. We're not someone that counts it to be strong. I'm strong. I'm able to conquer. We have to overcome that and have that by faith, by the help of the Lord. Be an overcomer, forward, boldly go. You are strong enough, if you count it so, strong enough to conquer through sustaining grace. And to overcome every foe you face. I mentioned this morning about my testimony a little bit this morning. And I've gone through a couple things in the last several weeks or month or so. And I've had to dig deep into the things. Lord, I need help. I had to dig deep into those things and ask God to help me with those things. And trust that God, because sometimes you get to a point. You get the point, I just don't know which way to go. I don't know which way to turn, and I don't know what to do. And you just fall on your face to God. There's a message that I thought that I had written down. I don't know if it ever materialized. And the message was, you know, sometimes, when's the last time you've had to fall on the rock? You know, sometimes we need the rock of Christ to fall on us, to crush us. But when's the last time you got into a stage, I just need to fall on Jesus Christ, Lord, I need you. I just need to collapse on you, Lord. I need your help. Yes. I need your grace. I need you to strength. I need your direction. I need your wisdom. I need some things. Strong enough to conquer through sustaining grace to overcome every foe you face. Everything we go through, God has to help us to overcome those things. That we can have that blessing of the Lord flowing through our soul. That fountain that God has for us. Are you overcoming tonight? Have you overcame? Let's go to Revelation. Back up to Revelation chapter 2. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 17... Jesus says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saveth he that receiveth it." But Jesus says the first part of it, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of God, to him that overcometh. We have to overcome. There's been way too many people that they just couldn't overcome whatever obstacle it was. They couldn't overcome self. They couldn't overcome family. They couldn't overcome just whatever. There's many things. They start out on the race good. They start pressing the battle on. They start doing well for a while. But something hinders them to where they just can't overcome it. One of the things we need to be encouraged is Christ can give us the strength to overcome any obstacle we will face spiritually and naturally. Every single thing. He says there, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the hidden manna." I enjoy the hidden manna. I enjoy the hidden things of God, the secret things of God, the special things that the Spirit does for us. You know, in your personal world, your neighbors and your family and different ones, they don't know your business. They don't know what's in your bank account. They don't know what's in your checkbook. They don't know some of your bills or your personal. You just don't share that with somebody. I thank God we can know some personal things from Jesus Christ. We can know some things that is hidden from the world. Things that the world has no idea about. Things that can bless our soul through the Spirit of the Word of God. God doesn't share his secrets with everyone. Jesus told us that many times, and there we'll read here in a little bit here. But Jesus told us that. He did, you know, some things were hidden. He went to the disciples. One of the disciples came to him one time and asked, "Why do you bring these parables? Why do you bring parables?" He goes, "I bring these to hide some things from those that are in the world." and to show the saints of God some things. Now, he had to reveal some things, but you know, some of the parables in the Word of God, some people still are pondering some of those parables. We have to overcome. But to say, he says there, but he that overcometh, to him that overcometh, I will give to eat of those hidden manna. I thank God for, as we talked of this morning, some of the things, I thank God for salvation. I read to you the song this morning. That word so divine. I know in my heart what it means. I thank God for salvation. You ever get a chance to talk to somebody out there? Talk to some stranger or whatever. Ask them if they have any idea what it means to be justified. Ask them if they have any idea. Give me an explanation what it means to be born again. I guarantee you will get some very odd responses, if any at all. The world knows nothing of the things of the spiritual things of God. To have that flow, that fountain flowing there. To be saved. There's something that we must do through salvation. I think about the hidden things when we talked a couple weeks ago, and I think Wednesday night, we talked a few weeks ago about types and shadows. And we see that back during the time of Moses, when God delivered the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage, and God delivers them and takes them to a path headed to the Canaan land, he brings them to the Red Sea. God did that. Moses just didn't choose, well, we're going to go this way. God took him that way. God took them that way, and God got them to the Red Sea. Of course, back in Egypt, he hardened Pharaoh's heart again, and Pharaoh and his army goes after the children of Israel to destroy them. Not to bring them back, but to destroy them. He was going to wipe them off the face of the earth. God brings them to a place where they had nowhere to go. The Red Sea is on one side. They look behind them, and Pharaoh and his army are coming after them the other side. They weren't warriors. They weren't men of war. They may have had a couple swords there, but they had no ability to fight the Pharaoh and his army. And of course, they murmured, they complained to Moses and about God and everything. And what did God tell them? This was the beginning of salvation. He told Moses to tell the people something, to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I've always mentioned, when we get saved, I know there's a part we have to play, but God says, just accept it. Just surrender to me, and I'll do the saving. I'll do the work. I'll save you. And he says, tell them to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And the Lord opened up the Red Sea. They went across on dry land, and Pharaoh and his army came by, and he destroyed the enemy. Now, when the thing of change, when Moses passed on and Joshua became the leader of the land, and they get to the Jordan River, that was not the same scenario. That was not the same thing. They get to the Jordan River, and he tells them to tell the priest to pick up the Ark of the Covenant and to go into the waters that were flowing roughly. They weren't just calm waters. They were flowing roughly. And he says, when the priest walked into the waters, God says, I'll stop the waters. That was by faith. There was some things they had to do. There was some things they had to put their trust in the things of God. They had to overcome that. I preach many times, and I've faced many a time, you look at a scenario in life, whatever it is, and you think, Lord, I can't go that way. Yeah, you can. By the grace of God, you'll overcome. And he'll help us to learn to overcome and learn to have faith in God. Now, see, that when I say overcome, so that doesn't necessarily mean that's our strength, our abilities, our desire to overcome, but the strength that God gives us to overcome those things. So when the priests and there, they carried the ark, and they go into the waters now, I don't know how heavy that thing was. I'm certain it wasn't light. I'm certain it was a little bulky and awkward. I wouldn't think it weighed as much as a casket does, if anybody's ever been a pallbearer in a casket. And those who have done it. And it's very difficult to walk with a casket. I mean, you only got a small little thing to put your hand in, and everybody's walking. It's very difficult. And that was on their shoulders, and they were walking. But the water was rushing through, and they had to step in there. Maybe the first couple were unstable. But once they got into there, God stopped the waters up. They had to overcome that fear. They didn't overcome when Moses sent the 12 spies into Canaan, and they came back. All 12 spies had a good report. It's a good land. It's a land flowing with milk and honey, plenty to eat. But there's giants in the land, and we are not able to go over there. We're as grasshoppers in their eyes. And they weren't overcome. Joshua and Caleb said to them, we are more than able to go over. They overcame that battle already. But because they couldn't overcome, they were hindered for the next 40 years. Faith and works go together, the Bible tells us. There are some things we must overcome. God tells us He has to save us and deliver us. There are some things that God says you have to overcome. I know you do, and I do. I like it when God just fights the battle for us. I like it when I have a battle in front of me, I have a scenario, whatever. So, Lord, I need help. God just works it. Like, wow, that was wonderful. That was a wild blessing. I don't like it when God says, you're going to have to work with this one a little bit on your own. I'm going to be with you, but you got to work with it. You got to have faith. You have to have confidence in God and the confidence in the Spirit. You're going to have to overcome this battle. I don't like that. But God says that's what we have to do sometimes. Another song in our songbook. Song says, victory through grace. I'm just going to read the chorus. The chorus says, not to the strong is the battle. I thank God for that. I first got saved. I was a young man. Pretty healthy, pretty well, pretty strong. And I can remember the first time, I don't know if it was the first time, I guess it seemed like when God made me realize, there's a verse in the Bible. I think I can find it quickly here. I think that's one of them. This ain't what I was thinking of, but and over in Ecclesiastes it talks about, remember thy creator in the days of thy youth. And in verse 9 and verse 11, chapter 11, verse 9, it says, O young man, in thy youth, let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. Walk in the ways of thy heart and the sight of thine eyes. But know that thou, for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. That's not actually the verse that I was wanting. But the Bible talks about as a young person, his strength is a glory to him, is a blessing to him. And you know, when you're young, you kind of look at that as a little bit of a prideful thought. Strong, I'm healthy, I'm well. I can fall off this platform and probably not really get hurt. You know, I can get up, I'm okay. I do that now, that's not going to be the case. When you're young and you're strong, you think, oh, I'm good. And when you get saved young like that, and the song says, the battle is not to the strong. Not to the strong is the battle. And God brought me to that one time, and I even came to an altar of prayer, and I said, Lord, help me. You know, because sometimes you think, I can fight this battle of my own. God said, no, you can't. You can't take one step against the enemy of the soul. He'll kill you. He'll wipe you out without the power and the grace of God. I had to overcome that. I had to surrender that to the Lord. I had to give that to the Lord. Not to the strong is the battle. Didn't have to battle this part of it. Not to the swift is the race. Yet to the true and the faithful, victory is promised through grace. There's some things we got to get this fella, as we talked about this morning, on the altar to overcome. To get grace, to get that fountain, as we talked about in an earlier verse in Revelation. To get that fountain to flow freely in our soul, we have to overcome pride. We have to overcome self. We have to overcome some of the things that are hindering us to have that fountain to flow. Not to the strong, not to the swift, is the race, but to the true and the faithful. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians chapter 1, picking up here in verse 18. For we, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom and the wise, and will bring to naught, to nothing, the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of the world? Hath not God made the foolish things of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For after that is the wisdom of God. The world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Verse 22. For the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Some things to overcome is some things we have to understand that God is much smarter than us. There are some people out there in the world, entertainers, that are very bold and arrogant against the things of God. I know there's one comedian out there. I think he's a comedian. And he talks about, basically talking about he's an atheist. He doesn't believe in God. He's derogatory about some of the things. And this is some of that there as he goes into verse 22 and 23 there. For the Jews seek after a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block. This gospel of Jesus Christ is a stumbling block to most people. Unto the Greeks, this is foolishness. As I said many times and preaching many times, to the world, this is the most foolish thing you and I could do is to sit here and listen to the gospel. I said this morning, and I appreciated the recognition of pastor appreciation, the greatest calling that God has helped me to understand, this is the greatest calling upon the face of the earth. Sometimes the devil plays with my mind sometimes to think, I'd like to have achieved this, or I'd like to maybe have been successful with this, or gone after this. And God said, you realize that what I've called you to do, there is no more greater achievement than what you're doing. Now, it's not recognized in the world, so to speak, but we have to overcome that. We have to overcome this sometimes. We have to overcome our ideas, our minds, our thinking of the things of this world. Like I say, we're still in the world. Our still mind has things of the world, and we have to bring them back sometimes. Verse 23 again, last thought there. We preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks this is foolishness. Let's go to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 21, Jesus says here, to him that overcometh, why grant to sit with me in my throne. Even, now listen what he says, even as I also overcame and am set down with the Father in his throne. Jesus had to overcome. Jesus had to overcome multiple times. Multiple times throughout the gospel. The very first part of his ministry, the Bible tells us, the devil took him up on a high pinnacle. And they started tempting him. If you're the Son of God. If you're the Son of God. If you're really the Son of God. He had the power. He had the power to destroy the devil if he wanted to. He'd been fasting for 40 days. I think he fasted 40 days. I know that was a power of the Lord. But he'd been fasting. He was weak. But he had to overcome the temptation of the enemy's soul. He had to overcome when they wanted to make him a king. Let's make you a king. We love you. We appreciate you. You fed us all this food and you take care of our needs. You healed. Let us make you. He had to overcome not to allow that to take part. There was still a part of him. Peter one time said to him, he said when he told the disciples, he said, I'm going to have to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to die. And Peter said, "Far be it from you, Lord." And you know that part there when he tells him, he says, "Get behind me, Satan." He had to rebuke Peter in a sense, or rebuke the enemy of the soul, because there was something he had to overcome. He had to overcome in the garden. He had to overcome in the garden. Three times he went to prayer. He said, Lord, if there's any other way, allow this to pass. He went three times, said the same words, until he finally came to the place he overcome. "Not my will, Lord, not my will, Lord, but your will be done." That's what we have to do to be successful Christians, to have that flowing of that fountain of the Spirit of God continue to flow with us, continue to go, continue to be a blessing in our soul. We have to overcome self, the world, and the battles that we face. He had to overcome when they stood and they lied upon him. When they brought him to Pilate and they lied upon him and told lies about him and things like that. He had to overcome when he laid his life on the cross and allowed them to nail him to the cross. He had to overcome and stay on that cross for 6 hours. He had to. He had all the power to remove any of that. But he had to overcome. And he says here in verse 21, "To him that overcometh." You know, Paul's enjoying a wonderful time right now. Paul said, "I count all things but dung, that I might know Christ. I gave all things up that I may know Christ." He had to overcome some things. And by the grace of God, Paul come to the end. He says, "I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. I am now ready to be offered." And Paul went into eternity faithful. And today he is enjoying the graces and blessings of heaven. Has been enjoying it for over 2,000 years. And Jesus says, "To him that overcometh," and one day by the grace of God, if we continue to overcome it all the way to the end, "he that endureth until the very end, the same shall be saved. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne." I don't really know what all that means. I know Brother Danny and I could say the same thing. Lynn got on me a little bit today. What was I talking about? I said I had to run to Home Depot real quick. And I said something about, "Do you want to go with me?" She's, "No." She says, "I'm relaxing." She goes, I'm not like you. I ain't got to run 24/7. I don't know what that really means, to sit on the throne, but I want to be there. And I have to overcome the battles that I face. I have to overcome self. "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father at his throne." Jesus had to overcome that he may have glory beside his Father one day. And he says, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne." Glory. Every one of us in here have had to overcome some things in the last several weeks, and we're going to have to overcome things in the next several weeks, and the rest of our lives we're going to have to overcome some things. The devil's going to bring some things at us. The world's going to bring some things at us. This thing up here is going to bring some things at us. And we're going to have to keep them in subject to the Spirit of God, to the laws of God. And say, "Lord, help us. Help us to be overcomers." Jesus overcame. We have to overcome self. We have to overcome our things of our own. Jesus says, "If we want to sit down with me at my throne, there are some things that we have to overcome." I thank God that I don't have to overcome you. And you don't have to overcome me. We don't have to be better than one another. I don't have to be better than Brother Danny. I don't have to be better than Brother David. They don't have to be better than me, any of that. I just have to overcome what I have to overcome. I'll be held accountable for what Lord responsible for me to overcome. Amen. By the grace of God. And I thank God for that. And so, Lord, help us with that. I don't have to overcome those things. And Lord, we don't want to have to be competitive to one another, and try to be better than one another. But we have to overcome the things of the world and the sins of things of the world. May the Lord bless you as we have us all.
Let's open the song book and turn to page 179. page 179.
Gifts to thee, what hast thou brought to me?